Welcome to Reclaim Your Power, Inspiration and Reflections for Before, During, and After Childbirth, a podcast about birth, getting in touch with our bodies, and talking about things that aren't often discussed or that you may not find in mainstream sources of information. A podcast to transform the way you plan for and approach birth, moving from fear and uncertainty to empowerment and inspiration. My name is Fungisai, which means to remind, and that's what I aim to do here. Remind you that the power lies within you and that it all starts with you. In this podcast, I've often mentioned midwives, and my portrayal of them has been mixed. From the respect and awe I have for someone like Ina Mae Gaskin, to the admiration for my home birth midwives, to disappointment or even criticism of some of the midwives I've met in my work as a doula. As new ideas for my podcast episodes have come up, I've thought, I should say something about this or about that. And recently, as I thought about celebrating the mother, I also thought about celebrating what I call the unsung heroines, the midwives. Whatever I may have said, whatever disappointment I may have felt towards some of them, there is one thing I can say for sure. These women do a phenomenal job, often under difficult circumstances, and they deserve our gratitude. So in this episode, I'd like to reflect on the role of midwives. Now, I'm not an expert, so I'm only speaking from my experiences, my observations, and what I have read in various books, newspaper and magazine articles, and from the midwives I've met during my births and also in my work as a doula. Midwifery started as something for women by women. Women supported each other during birth, and daughters learned from their mothers. And in traditional societies, there would often be some women with particular skills or an affinity for support during pregnancy and childbirth who'd then be called upon because they knew what to do when problems presented themselves. It was their calling or vocation. They would know what herbs would help, for example, with nausea during pregnancy or excessive bleeding after labor. They could identify signs that things weren't right, and these women often commanded a lot of respect because there was an understanding in those societies that birth was a sacred process. Fast forward to the 20th century, especially post-World War II, or at least in the global north, things began to change, and the changes began with the Industrial Revolution and advances in medicine. Birth got moved away from the home to the hospital, and midwifery became more controlled and regulated. Most midwives now worked in hospitals and took second place to the doctors. Birth became pathologized. When we think about it, doctors are taught to deal with illness. Their role is to cure, and they're taught to look for problems, what we call pathology. That is the model they work with. That's their training. Midwives are concerned with life, with the processes of new life coming into the world, and I see this as a positive process. However, somewhere along the way, the system has pushed midwives more and more into focusing on pathology, relying on machines, and losing touch with their intuition and their ability to use their hands, eyes, ears, their senses to support women during pregnancy and childbirth. Relying on machines causes us to not only lose touch with our intuition, but also to lose confidence in our innate abilities. I trust and hope that choosing to be a midwife is not something that people take lightly, that it's a calling, a vocation, because being a midwife is different from being a nurse. A nurse is similar to a doctor in that their focus is largely on pathology or helping and fixing problems, on illness, whereas the midwife's job is a different one. It's a sacred calling linked to bringing forth new life. This doesn't mean, however, that being a doctor or a nurse is not a vocation or a calling. Of course it is. The question is, are our midwives today really responding to that sacred call, or has it just become yet another job? As a doula, I can't see how midwifery can be just a job. But as I've shared in previous episodes, I've seen midwives acting in different ways. My experience is also limited, but from the stories that many women share, there is something not quite right with this profession anymore. Is it just turning into yet another job where people show up to do their duty, make sure nothing goes wrong, then go home? Is it a job where you show up so you get a paycheck and the women you are looking after are just bodies. You don't really see each individual and you don't give of yourself? I think with some people, the answer is yes. And with others, the answer is no, just like with any other job. But I don't see this just as any other job. For me, midwifery is something more than just understanding the anatomy. It's spiritual. Ina May Gaskin wrote a book called Spiritual Midwifery, which I've read and which is quite impressive because she does the kind of midwifery I think most midwives want to do, to fulfill what the original term means, with wife or with woman, meaning that you work with the pregnant or birthing woman, not on them. There's a subtle difference there. With refers to partnership, to support, to listening, to caring. In Ina May's Guide to Childbirth, she talks about the two maternity models, which I've kind of touched on previously, the humanistic or midwifery model of care and the techno-medical model of care. As you can guess, one sees pregnancy and birth as something safe, normal, and healthy, and the other sees pregnancy and birth as full of risk and something to be tightly controlled with time limits about what should happen when and interventions when things do not happen within a certain time limit. This approach leads to things like vacuum and forceps extractions, high induction and cesarean rates, which are neither good nor necessary in normal, healthy pregnancies and births. This model treats all women as the same, using the average, which I suspect is possibly a middle-class white woman, as the gold standard. It sees pain and pregnancy as the enemy, as something to be minimized, removed, and controlled. On the other hand, the midwifery model is holistic and acknowledges that each woman is an individual and each pregnancy is different, and that a healthy woman provided with good care during pregnancy and birth, given the time and opportunities to ask questions and receive good advice, and allowed to take the time she needs and move as she wants during labor and birth, will and can birth safely and successfully without intervention. Research shows that in places where this model is used, there are low rates of maternal and child mortality because the midwives are with the woman. They are using their time and their senses to really be with the woman and to allow birth to proceed as it should. This doesn't mean that this model does not recognize that at times intervention is needed and that there are women who require close monitoring and technological help during their pregnancies and births. But they acknowledge that these are or should only be a minority. This type of midwifery is women-centered, and the woman is not only seen as a vessel to incubate the baby, but the woman and the baby are seen as one unit, and there is understanding that the emotional and physical state of the woman will have a direct effect on her baby. This is a nurturing type of care. So what has gone wrong? Why in some places have women lost their place at the forefront of pregnancy and birth and had to give way to the obstetrician as the expert? Yes, when there is a problem, the obstetrician is the expert. But when it comes to normal birth, then midwives are the experts, and they should be given the space and time to do their job and to do it well. In many countries, there are so many limitations put on midwives. They are either overworked and underpaid, strictly regulated, and have to spend time filling in forms instead of being with women. There is a sense of a lack of trust, not only in women's bodies and our ability to give birth safely and without unnecessary intervention, but also in the women who support and care for us, ability and skills to do this well. Because of these developments, midwives are having to depend more and more on machines and on watching the clock, because the medical system says that if the woman hasn't given birth within a certain time limit, then they've failed. The hospitals are under pressure to perform, to save money, because they rely on funding from government departments that are far removed from the reality of women's births. Everything has to be controlled and efficient. Birth is messy and unpredictable. It proceeds at its own pace and should not be hurried along, controlled, or unnecessarily interfered with. When this happens, that's when problems start. Control of our bodies is something we women have and continue to fight hard for. In some countries, we seem to be losing this battle again after having made such good progress. We need to stay alert and aware. So it's easy to blame your midwife when things don't go well or they don't treat you with compassion. But we also have to remember the tremendous pressure many of these women are under. I truly believe that given the opportunity and the right environment, all midwives will find that with woman calling within them and act accordingly. But more and more are trained to look for pathology and work within systemic constraints that often make it difficult for them to be the best that they can be. So instead of feeling angry and laying blame, we should be compassionate and try to find ways to support them. I remember when I did my doula training, my teacher mentioned that if midwives are required to train as nurses first before they train as midwives, making midwifery a nursing specialization, then this is a problem because they have been trained in the techno-medical model. So they would have to undo all that training they receive in nursing to focus on building or promoting health instead of preventing disease. What's the difference between these two, you ask? Now I'll put on my academic hat as a health promoter. Promoting health means you are looking at what is working well, what is going right, and encouraging or building on that. For example, by encouraging women to move during labor, to stay upright, they are using techniques that will help the women manage pain, shorten the labor, and help their labor to proceed more smoothly. They encourage women to work with their bodies. A prevention approach would focus on giving the woman medication, perhaps an epidural, to lessen the pain. In most circumstances, then, working against the body, because the woman then becomes bedbound and thus cannot help her body work at its best, and this leads to greater likelihood of intervention. As a doula, I've also found that some midwives feel threatened by doulas, that they feel we are invading their space because we don't have medical knowledge. I remember I had an unpleasant experience here in Bergen when we came back in 2009. I had taken my doula training in Scotland, and from what I remembered of Norway, it was a country that promoted women's rights, so I was expecting to find lots of doulas and open, friendly midwives. Imagine my shock when I emailed the Midwifery Association in Bergen, introduced myself and said I'd love to attend one of their meetings, meet them, and share about being a doula, i.e. what I do. Initially, I got a friendly response saying they would discuss it at their next meeting and get back to me. Then after some days, the leader got back to me, and this is what she said. We discussed the theme doula yesterday, and as I expected, the reaction is that this is our profession. I don't know which countries you've been working in, but here in Scandinavia, it feels very unnatural and wrong. Midwives in Norway have a 5-year education. We're autonomous and are very focused on our profession. We do all part of the normal labor and delivery, besides the obstetric part. The education focus is a lot on being empathic and care in general labor. Most women have their husbands or their mother, sister, accompanying them during the delivery. We try to protect our women in the ward. I've discussed with my leaders and we're not interested in more visitors than necessary. I felt like I'd been slapped in the face. All I'd asked was to meet them and to share what I do. I think I would have quit right there and then because I was just starting out, if it hadn't been for other doulas in Norway who I contacted, and they comforted me and told me that this was a relatively new thing in Norway and I shouldn't give up because there was a need. Women and their partners needed doulas. So I continued, and once I got going, I didn't really meet any resistance from the midwives, and I think as time went on, they were relieved to have me there. A calm presence who had an idea what was going on, could support the woman or couple, and would call them if I saw that they were needed. So they could get on with looking after the other women in the maternity ward. I made their job easier. I provided continuity of care and already had a relationship with the birthing couple, which they didn't have, and this helped. So I think in places where doulas and midwives can respect and work with each other, then women receive great care. One of the great examples I have of this is with one of my last clients who had planned a home water birth. She'd also hired an independent midwife. It was a great experience because we were a team supporting the couple and each other in a way. The home birth ended up in hospital, but there was no trauma. The midwife made what I think was a great decision. We all moved calmly to the hospital and our midwife handed over our client to the hospital midwives and only left when she was satisfied that our client was settled comfortably. I stayed, so there was that incredible continuity of care and the hospital midwives were kind and also did a great job. I remember thinking that although we were all pretty exhausted, it was a long birth, that everything had gone calmly. No, it wasn't a home water birth we had all planned for, but it was a good experience and a gentle birth. So why do I call them unsung heroines? Because like all frontline workers, they do the hardest job, and yet they do not get as much credit as they should. When the obstetrician saves a baby's life, they get all the credit. There is no mention of the midwife or midwives who cared for the woman before the emergency and raised the alarm when they saw that things were not going right, or the midwife at your health clinic who has been supporting and monitoring and encouraging you during your health checks. They are almost invisible in many circumstances. Why? Because they're women and work in a sector dominated by women. And as we know, these sectors are never valued as much as the more masculine or male-dominated sectors. So being a doctor has more prestige than being a nurse or a midwife. Although the ones we see most are the midwives. They take care of us before, during, and after birth, which is how it should be. But they should also get the acknowledgement and the credit they deserve. I'd like to share a story I read in a midwifery magazine about a young American midwife who traveled to South America to learn from traditional midwives and watch how they worked with women. She writes how there was a push to accredit these midwives, and they were all called to a nearby city to a meeting along with doctors and others working in the techno-medical model. One old lady that this young midwife had been working with was called up to the front and asked to assess someone acting as a pregnant woman with potentially risky symptoms. The old lady went up to this pregnant woman, looked into her eyes, took her face in her hands and said, "My child, I see you. I am going to look after you. I am going to make you good food and all will be well." There was outrage from the doctors and the old lady was told to get off the stage because she didn't know what she was doing. She was ignorant and dangerous. They called on a medically trained midwife who went on to identify all the risks and tell the woman, the so-called pregnant woman, that she should be hospitalized immediately. The doctors were pleased and stated how this was the right way to diagnose. Reading this really upset me because I saw how this old woman, who had probably delivered many, many babies in a remote rural area with few resources, where access to hospitals was not easy and where most of her patients were poor and paid her with eggs or a chicken or whatever produce they had, was dismissed because she had a different human approach. What she did was see the woman and promise care and support. This does not mean she ignored the potential problem, but that she had a different way to deal with it. This woman, who had served her community for many, many years, was treated with contempt and disrespect. Reading this made me so sad and is an indication of the direction we are going. My podcast is about reclaiming our power over our bodies and over our minds as women, remembering who we are and the strength within us. As part of this, let us stay aware and awake to what is happening around us, to the changes that limit our choices over how and where we give birth to our babies. Let us be advocates for each other and support those midwives who are fighting hard for the right to practice a humanistic model of midwifery, whether as home birth midwives or in hospitals. When we see a campaign, let's sign, support, donate where we can. Let's use our voting power and make our politicians accountable. I am so grateful to have met some incredible midwives, both in my work as a doula and during my pregnancies and births. Women who give me hope and who keep fighting to preserve the woman-centered model of midwifery. So I'd like to pay tribute to some of these midwives. Mairi and Katrina in Scotland, our home birth midwives. Liv, our home birth midwife in Norway. And to those I've met in my role as a doula. Anya, Christina, Eva, Bippi, Katrina. Truly amazing women to whom midwifery is a vocation. There are others I've met in the hospitals whose names I don't remember, but I pay tribute to them as well. And of course to my guru, Ina Mae Gaskin, who I had the pleasure and honor to hear speak when Bippi and Katrina brought her to Oslo, a definite highlight. I even had a photo taken with her. These midwives choose to continue doing this great work, even in circumstances that are challenging. I'd also like to pay tribute to all the traditional birth attendants and midwives all over the world who quietly and competently continue to care for women in their communities, even as their knowledge and wisdom is discounted and as they are disrespected. We thank you and we honor you. This is the last of my pregnancy and birth-related episodes. In this series one, I've really enjoyed reflecting on the various issues I've presented, and I know I could say so much more, and maybe I will in future episodes. Who knows? As the title of this podcast reflects, it's on pregnancy, birth, and beyond. I will end this series with two episodes related to the postpartum phase, which I'll call Keeping Your Baby Close. My next episode will be on babies and sleep, a topic that has many mothers and fathers tearing their hair out. I hope you will join me. If you have found my podcast helpful, interesting, thought-provoking, or even challenging, please share. I would also appreciate any comments or reviews. My podcast is now on Apple Podcasts, where you can leave a review. I'm always happy to hear what you think and to learn. Thank you for being here, for listening. This is Fungisai, reminding you to reclaim your power.